Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our weekly Bible study right here on our website. We're going to get into the Word of God today, and as we do, we pray the Word of God will get into us and find a good ground heart within us, hallelujah, that it, the Word of God, may bring forth fruit, some 30, 60, and even 100. Hundredfold. So something very powerful and potentially such a blessing to us is about to occur as we open the Bible and we open our hearts and our minds to receive it today. If you're not a Christian, please stay tuned today to our broadcast. We have a great enemy in the devil, all of us, the unsaved and the saved. But we as saved people, as Christians, as children of God, have a greater ally in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Satan wants our destruction. Jesus put it this way. The thief came but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Praise God. Some people see abundantly. They just see the material world and they just see money. And certainly God will bless us with our needs and even above. But I'm telling you right now, this abundant life means it's not this temporary life where we age and get sick and die. This abundant life is eternal, everlasting life without fear of the judgment to come. Oh, friend of mine, what a blessing we have when we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and God as our Father and the Holy Spirit as our Comforter. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me for this study to Isaiah 59 and verse 19 in the Old Covenant on the subject, standing firm when the enemy attacks. Standing firm when the enemy attacks. Now, the whole armor of God in the New Covenant presented in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 is for the sole specific purpose of having done all standing in the evil day. And the evil day is when the enemy attacks. Behind all of those situations in your life to hurt and harm you, there is a very real enemy. His name is Satan. His name is Devil. His name is Apollyon, Destroyer. There's many names to him. His name is Lucifer, which initially wasn't a bad name until he led a rebellion in heaven and was cast down with the angels that followed him in that rebellion. A friend of mine, I want you to know he is a formidable foe, and he is to be respected and feared as an enemy unless we are saved and we are kept by the power of God, and in particular by the person of Jesus Christ today. So please stay tuned. This is not an if the enemy attacks. This is when he attacks. Attacks will come. Sometimes we may not recognize the spiritual entity behind the person that he is using, or the people, or the circumstance we may find ourselves in. But I want you to know with a capital V, there is victory in Jesus for the child of God who knows who they are in Christ and know who Christ is in them. So if you're ready, let's read Isaiah 59 and verse 19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, this word standard in the Hebrew is the word nuos, and it literally means to flit, to vanish away, to put to flight, to make to flee. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will put him to flight, make him to flee. That's why the Bible said, submit yourself unto God in the new covenant. Resist the devil. And because God takes up the battle in our behalf, he will flee from you. And that word flee in the Greek in the new covenant literally means to run as in panic. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is mighty, and the blood of Jesus is effective in saving us, and the name of Jesus is effective in resisting the devil. Praise God. I like what Young's commentary says about this word. It says, the thought of the verse then is whenever the enemy comes upon God's people like a flood of all engulfing water racing down a narrow ravine. That's when it gains momentum, you see. That's when the water is so forceful. It's when it's not just coming over the banks of a river to do such damage, but when it's actually being narrowed into a ravine and the force of it will just take mighty trees and uproot them and take a house off its foundation and carry it away. This is the force that the enemy comes with. It says the Lord, he goes on to say, the Lord in the very midst of the flood raises a standard. God raises a dam to stem the tide and thus deliver. The idea here clearly that he's envisioning is a shield. I love the scripture, don't you? I hope you love all of the scriptures, but in particular those when God defends us. That's why in the Old Covenant it says, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, many enemies, the psalmist is talking about. But it's okay, because Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, and a shield for me, hallelujah, and my glory, and the lifter of my head, hallelujah. Knave's topical Bible says, God's standard and ensign, which will save his people, is Jesus Christ, in type and foreshadow in the Old Testament, but in complete revelation and realization in the New Covenant. Verse 20 of this verse says, And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Hallelujah. Rest assured, Christian, the greater one lives in you. I like what F.W. Thomas said about it. He said, the brightness of our Lord's glory sent demon sentries howling through hell's corridors. From the thrones of night, black-winged messengers were dispatched to mobilize all of hell's forces. I don't know what you're seeing right now. I'm seeing the party they had in hell when Jesus gave up the ghost, when he died upon the cross for us. Hell must have had a ball when that happened, but it was a short-lived party. I'm going to finish this. It said, legions of devil, infernal spirits readying themselves to do battle. In their vanguard, a host of writhing serpent-like demons hissed forth fiery venom against man's deliverer. The blasting winds of hell were hurled against him, but nothing could prevail against the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Friend of mine, I want you to know, hell released every force it had against Jesus. And they thought they had won a great victory. But instead, Jesus was winning a victory over him and over them. And he did it for you and he did it for me. Christ is our standard. His victory is our victory. We must never fret nor fear. While it's true that in ourselves we are nothing In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We are challenged by the Holy Spirit to have courage in Christ. Ephesians 6:10. Paul says we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, you and I are no match for this foe. None whatsoever. You can't battle spiritual entities with fleshly weapons. That's why the scripture says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why Paul begins this teaching on overcoming all of the hierarchy of demon forces under the devil's influence, control, and leadership. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That little phrase, in the Lord, is the very cornerstone to our courage in battle. The Amplified, I like it. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Hallelujah. You see, friend, this little phrase, in the Lord, or therefore in Christ, or their equivalent, are found over 40 times in Ephesians alone. Do you think maybe the Holy Spirit wants us to highlight that in our Bible, in our mind, and in our heart? Every Christian is inseparably united with Jesus Christ. We are placed by God into oneness with His person and His work. So the first thing, we need to stand firm in Christ when the enemy attacks, is to realize that we are in the mighty victory of His name. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name in which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. This word under is a Greek word that means belonging to the world of departed spirits, under the earth, the infernal region. Listen, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. The Greek word translated Lord is Kurios, and it means supreme in authority. In effect, God, Lord, total, supreme authority. The Greek word Lord is the equivalent to the Old Testament Hebrew, Jehovah, Yehovah. Christ's exaltation is not only God's attestation or satisfaction in Christ's work, but God's recognition and declaration of Christ's equality with Himself. In Acts 2 and verse 36, it said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Let there be no doubt about it. He's very God, and He has supreme authority. The devils believe that and tremble. Let us believe that and triumph. I want to say that again. The devils know that and tremble. Let us know and believe that and triumph. We used to sing this camp meeting round song, and we used to sing it, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. In my name, Jesus taught, you shall cast out devils. You will tread on serpents. Hallelujah. We cannot be in Christ and not qualify to pray in the victory and the authority of His exalted name. For whatever we ask the Father in His name, He hears us. Hallelujah. Whatever we ask in His name, Jesus said He will give it to you. If we have the authority, if by surrendering to His will, discovering His will, implementing His will, if we ask anything according to His will in Jesus' name, He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have the petition that we have desired of Him. Satan and his demons cannot resist the believer who stands in the supreme authority of Jesus' name. In my name, he said, you will cast out devils. I like what John Newton said about that. He said, as surely as he overcame and triumphed once for you, so surely you that love his name shall in him triumph too. Hallelujah. Amen. To be in Christ, dear friends, means also that we're to be united to Jesus in all of the victory He's achieved in His redemptive work. Listen to Colossians 2:14-15. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And this is the victory over the enemy in our behalf, the accuser in particular. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Literally, it is the cross in context. I like the Amplified. It said, God disarmed principalities and powers ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in Him in and in it the cross. The great victory is ours in Jesus Christ today. At the moment of conversion, God puts the believer in all the victory Christ has achieved in His redemptive work. Listen to Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now when it says destroy here, friend, I want you to know that he's still very much alive. He's not consigned to the bottomless pit. He's not consigned to the hellish place where he will spend eternity with the false prophet and Antichrist. He's alive and well and working overtime right here on planet Earth. But here's what has happened. This word destroy in the Greek is katargeo, and it means to render entirely idle, useless, to make of none effect. It means, well, I like what one preacher and evangelist of old said, amen. He said, the devil walks about indeed as a roaring lion, but God pulled his teeth at Calvary. Praise God. But he also said, and this is where the ignorance of who we are in Jesus and the authority we have to stand firm when the enemy attacks. He said, the tragedy is that a toothless devil is gumming many Christians to death. That meant literally overcoming and overpowering, because we do not use the name of Jesus against him, and we do not plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves and our families, and we do not lift high the shield of faith. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Praise God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, according to the Scripture. And our faith is that when the enemy comes in, God stands ready to defend us. And the faithfulness of God, who has all power in heaven and earth, and in Christ, our Redeemer, hallelujah, and our Defender. this mighty understanding that brings forth this mighty faith today to stand our ground and see the enemy, the enemy's defeat before our very eyes. Listen, let me read it again. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, render him useless against us, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It was in his incarnate form as one of us that our Lord achieved our redemption and totally defeated the kingdom of darkness over us, concerning us. Hallelujah. Satan still exists. But he and his cohorts stand defeated, stripped of their legal authority over every single one of God's children today. Hallelujah. Stand your ground. Our Redeemer, the Redeemer has come to Zion, and we know him by name, and his name is Jesus Christ. God has one of us defeated Satan for us in Christ. So take courage today, Christian, even when the enemy comes in with such force. It's like a flood that threatens to take away everything that we have trusted in to keep us. And yet, when he comes in that kind of velocity and that kind of violent attack, the scripture is clear. God, who is faithful, has raised up and will therefore raise up a standard against him. And that standard is nothing less and no one less than Jesus Christ, our Sovereign and our Savior. Hallelujah. I like the Amplified. It said, since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, that is, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself in similar manner took part of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Now that's not over the whole world, that's not over anyone who is not saved and not one of his children, but it pertains to every child of God. Hallelujah. So we need, because of God's promise and what he's done for us in Christ, amen, he promised to raise a standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. As victorious Christians, we can now claim this great truth with great courage, because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. I love the scripture in Isaiah that says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage, you see. Hallelujah. What he did for ancient Israel, he's done thousands of times more in behalf of New Testament believers, both Jew and Gentile, because he's put us in Christ, and he keeps a covenant to defend his people when the enemy comes in like a flood. This is a spiritual attack. The devil may use natural people and physical circumstances, but behind it all, it's a spiritual attack. I remember one of the movies, Lord of the Rings, I think it was, or The Hobbit, or one of those movies that had to do with this battle between good and evil and light and darkness, figuratively. But one warrior went after the leader of the forces of the enemy, and he was asked where he was going, because this was such a formidable foe, and he said, "I'm going to cut the head off the snake." Amen. Friend of mine, I want you to know, when a snake's head is cut off, It may keep writhing. It may look like it's more than alive. The nerves are going crazy with that head cut off. But it can't bite you. It can't harm you. It might scare you. But if you see it has no head, you understand it has no fangs. You understand it cannot hurt you. Amen. I believe what we're seeing right now, after Christ's great victory at the cross, what we're seeing right now is this manifestation of evil like we've never seen it hardly in ours, particularly in our lifetime, in my lifetime. And yet, we understand these are the death throes of a defeated foe. Jesus isn't coming back to defeat the devil. No, friend. He defeated him at the cross. He defeated him when he was raised from the dead, fulfilling the scripture in the garden that the serpent would bruise his heel, the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman would bruise his head. That wound to the heel was not a mortal wound, for Jesus rose the third day, hallelujah, with victory over death, hell, and the grave, and the devil himself. Ah, but the bruise to the head is a deadly wound, and the enemy knows he has but a short time. And it says, because of that, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down unto you. This is spoken in the book of Revelation, particularly during the tribulation, when all of this comes to its climax. But listen to the scripture, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down unto you having great wrath, for he knows that he has but a short time. Amen. What we're seeing right now, the attacks against the church, against Christians around the world, the persecution heating up right here in America. When you have freedom to freedom of speech about anything except the moral standards presented in the Word of God, the man's presented in the Word of God, the mediator between God and man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, hallelujah. That's what we're not supposed to talk about or speak of. Freedom for everyone but Christians to follow our faith and say this is wrong and this is right by the authority of God's Word. People don't have to obey it. They don't obey it. They don't have to listen if they don't want to hear it. But they don't even want us to speak it, because the devil greatly fears these warriors of light and these bearers of light, because his dark forces have absolutely no authority over them. Don't let him trick you with fear. Don't let him tell you he's going to destroy you. Don't just see whatever's going on as why would God let this happen? He knows you're well defended. He's given you spiritual armor. Take it, that you might stand in the evil day, having done all, stand. Because you know and believe when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord within you and within me will raise up a standard. And the standard is no one less than our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, my shield and my buckler. Hallelujah. Today I want to make a statement. I pray you will make it with me in light of what we have learned today from the Word of God. By faith, I claim my invincible right to be strong and victorious in your complete salvation. Say this to the Lord. By faith, I claim my invincible right to be strong and victorious in your complete salvation. Let's continue. Say it with me. To the Lord, acknowledge, confess this great truth. I refuse to be discouraged. I know you may feel discouraged, but reject that feeling. It's a feeling. The fact is, you are well defended and wonderfully blessed. Hallelujah. I refuse to be discouraged. I reject all emotions that make me feel defeated. I reject all emotions that make me feel defeated. I choose to live as one who is more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know if you have shouting shoes. I don't know if you own a pair. I don't know if you believe in shouting. But you're going to have to come out of your shell when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Because there's going to be some shouting on them golden streets when we know we are past all of the battles and trials of life. And we know we're victorious because of our great King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But until we get to heaven, there is victories to be had here, to be gained here. Hallelujah. And thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through the one He's raised up, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Isaiah 15, verse 58, First Corinthians 15, 57 and 58, amen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, standing firm when the enemy attacks, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. Friend, we're going to celebrate next year if time goes on, if Jesus tarries and we're still alive, we're going to celebrate month of next year, 50 years of ministering the gospel, 50 years of being the pastor, evangelist, president, director of the Holy Church of God Incorporated, not a denomination, a fellowship of independent ministries. Hallelujah. Right out of Azusa Street, they were formed, concerned that too much organization would not allow the freedom of the move of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we are a part of. So, friend of mine, today, while we are wide open today to obey God, even in these twilight years of our life, we have had many attacks of the enemy, many times of battles with discouragement, battles with all kinds of circumstances and situations. But I can report to you today, God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. His grace is sufficient, and His armor cannot be penetrated. Amen. We feel so weak in ourselves. The longer you live and the more you know how vital Jesus is to our victory and God's armor is to our victory, we understand that without Him we are vulnerable. We can be easily defeated. But because of Him, we are mighty. We are powerful. Hallelujah. And we should be mighty to stand firm in every battle. If we do, God is going to give us the manifestation of the victory that Christ has won for us at the cross. That's why the Bible said, having overcome all, stand. Amen. Having done all. I know it says done all in the King James. But if you take it to all of the studies and connotations of that statement, it means that the victory has been won. God has given us all, hath, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And that is inclusive of this great victory over the enemy. Even when he comes in like a flood, God will stem the tide as we stand still. And therefore stand firm and see the deliverance of God. The Bible said, be still and know that He is God. But stand still, stand firm, and see His salvation. That word salvation is not about getting saved and repenting of our sin. That word salvation in the Hebrew, where that scripture is found, stand still and see the salvation. It means to see God come through and deliver us from our enemies and through from our circumstances, whatever they may be. Oh, friend, there's great victory in Jesus, and we're celebrating the reason for that victory, His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. He claimed the power when He rose from the dead, and He holds that power and has given us and delegated unto us all power over all the power of the enemy by the authority of His very name. So in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. For in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan is going to have to flee. So by faith, stand firm. Call upon the name of Jesus. Declare the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life and your family. And the devil is going to have to back off. He don't want to. He don't have a choice. Because His name is above every name in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, in that nether world beneath, the devil is under the authority of Jesus' mighty victory and name. Hallelujah. Well, we bless you today. If you're in the Tampa area, we would invite you to come and celebrate Resurrection Sunday with us as we meet in a hotel on the university campus, Embassy Suites. And from 11 to 12:30, we'll be out in plenty of time to go and have all the festivities that we do on Easter with our families. And we pray you will have a blessed resurrection morning and day. And if you can come worship with us, we would be so glad to have you. Last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we had folks come we hadn't seen in a long time, and it was just like a family reunion. So why don't you come and be with us this Sunday as we celebrate the reason for the victory we have talked about, taught about, and enjoy in Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you today. If you don't know Jesus, we're taking this extra time because if you've heard that there is a victory, and maybe the Lord has revealed to you while we have been teaching, maybe He's revealed to you that the enemy wants your destruction, that the God is real and the devil is just as real. And the only way to overcome the one who wants to destroy you, not just now, destroy your family, destroy your home, destroy your life through drugs and drink and all of the different sins that are so destructive. But he wants to destroy your eternal soul in hell. He don't want to go to hell alone. He wants to take as many people as he can with him. It's his only way to hurt God at all. Because every person on this planet has been loved enough by God that he would give his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he did this. So God loves you today. The enemy hates you simply because God loves you. So friend, come to Christ today. Come be delivered. Come be set free from sin's power, from Satan's influence, from all of the addictions that you may have. Come for cleansing to Calvary's tithe. Come be washed in the blood. Come repenting of your sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior. He will set you free, and He will keep you free. Hallelujah. The enemy will lose his control over you, his hold on you, because when he comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up the standard of Jesus against him. Hallelujah. And you will prevail and be ready for his coming in Jesus' name.